Good evening. This is Reese Edwards reporting for Program Kaleidoscope. Last Monday, one of North Carolina's newest colleges observed its annual Founders Day. Since this college also happens to be my alma mater, I use this day as an opportunity to revisit the campus and renew some friendships. The college being discussed here is Methodist College, chartered in 1956 and opened in 1960 in Fayetteville, North Carolina. During my visit to the Methodist College campus last Monday, which I left only last June, I took along a tape recorder and talked to some of the administrative officials about Methodist College. In the next few minutes on Kaleidoscope, I would like to acquaint you with Methodist College in Fayetteville. The idea of having a college in Fayetteville was conceived in the minds of a group of citizens who approached the North Carolina Conference of the Methodist Church and asked their help in establishing a college in Fayetteville. We asked Dr. L. Stacy Weaver, the president of Methodist College, to explain further the origin of the college and tell us where the necessary financial support was found.
Our original support came, as you indicated, from the Fayetteville community through an organization which continues as the Fayetteville College Foundation, and from the Methodist Church, or the churches in the eastern part of North Carolina, which are organized into the North Carolina Annual Conference. These were the two sources of support that brought the college into being. Since we have begun our operations and have begun to draw students from a wider area, we have been able to attract support from a wider area, and we are now receiving some support from foundations and corporations and individuals not within the area of the North Carolina Conference.
Every college is the story of perpetual growth, but Methodist College is growing even faster than the average institution. Even since I left in June, one more building has been completed, and the construction on two more is now underway. Dr. Weaver offered to trace the physical growth of the college from its original group of three buildings.
We opened the college, as you indicated, with three buildings. These were the classroom building, the science building, and of course these two were teaching buildings, and the Combination Student Union cafeteria. We did not have residence facilities on the campus the first year, so all of our students were day students. But we thought it important to get the college in operation, and our first resources were directed to erecting the teaching facilities necessary to open the college. Since that time, we have constructed a faculty apartment building, an infirmary, a music building. The library is just being finished and will be occupied within the next several days. The bell tower, a gymnasium, and two large and permanent dormitories. We have now under construction two additional dormitories which we expect to finish and to put into use by September 1965.
The main ingredient in any college is the student. To find out more about the student body of Methodist College and how it has grown, we talked with Mr. Sam R. Edwards, the Director of Admissions at the college.
Well, Reese, we opened up in September 1960. We had only 88 students enrolled that first year. Then we added a class each year until we finally had our first graduating class in June 1964. In our 1964 class, we have 48 graduates in all. The first year that we were in operation, we did not have any dormitories. All students were day students and lived off campus. We opened our first dormitories in September of 1961. We now have two large dormitories that will house approximately 300 students. We have two under construction. At the present time, they will be ready for September 1965. Whereas we opened in 1960 with 88 students, we have had a gradual controlled growth until This year we opened with 619 students.
About the growth in future years, Mr. Edwards, you will have perhaps how many students next year, and when the college reaches its full potential, how many students will there be enrolled?
Well, we will have about 750 students next year. Now, a good deal of this growth has been with the increase in the freshman class. For instance, this year we have about 300 freshmen. Again, next year we will have about 300 freshmen out of a possible 750 students. Eventually, we will grow to about 1,200 students. We will have to stop under our present facilities with about 1,200 students because everything that we are building on the campus, we are building toward an eventual enrollment of 1,200 students.
As Mr. Edwards pointed out, the college graduated its first senior class only 5 months ago. For a statistical breakdown on these graduates, we talked with Mrs. Greta Duncan, Director of Guidance at Methodist College, and the person responsible for finding jobs for several of these graduates.
We had 24 men and 24 women. The 10 majors offered were represented all except French. We had 5 biology majors, 3 chemistry majors, 6 economics and business administration, 9 in elementary education, 10 in English, 9 in history, 2 in math, 2 in music, and 2 in religion. Of our graduates, 30 were transfer students, and interesting enough, 5 of these last attended college 10 or more years before entering MC. 18 of the students were new when they came in. 30 of the students are now married, and 18 are single. The occupations represented, we have 24 in teaching, 3 have gone to Officers Candidate School, 3 are in graduate school, 3 are doing government work, 2 are in public welfare, 2 are in sales, and 2 are temporarily employed. 1 is a retired Westinghouse executive, 1 is in radio, which we know very well, 1 is working for a stockbroker, 1 is in research, we have 1 in the ministry, we have a homemaker who is going to teach next year when her little one is a little bigger, 1 accountant, 1 president of a printing company, and 1 in banking. Our graduates have gone as far north as Newport, Rhode Island, as far south as Jacksonville, Florida, and as far west as Houston, Texas.
Extracurricular activities form an important part of any college program. Intercollegiate sports rank high among the Methodist College interests. The college participates in 5 varsity sports: cross country, bowling, basketball, tennis, and golf. One of the unique features of the Methodist College athletic program is that no athletic scholarships are given to the students. For a closer look at athletics at the college, and especially the non-scholarship aspect, here is Athletic Director Ernie Schwarz.
This program here is unique in that, of course, as Reese said, we do not give any athletic scholarships. Well, it's a voluntary program. The boys who come out for the team come out on their own and know the consequences as far as studying is concerned. They must keep up with the grades and the studies. And we are quite pleased with the program in that it gives everybody a chance to come out for the team. And anyone may come out who is eligible as far as academic standards are concerned, and even women are eligible as far as bowling is concerned, and tennis and golf, if they are capable of making the team.
During our visit last Monday to our alma mater on Founders Day, we saw the chairman of the college's Board of Trustees, the Honorable Terry Sanford. Governor Sanford made the following general statement about Methodist College.
Well, I think this is a magnificent illustration of what can be done when people will set a goal for themselves and decide something should be done. And it was now about 7-8 years ago that the people in this community approached the leaders of the Methodist Church with the idea that let's have a Methodist College in Fayetteville. And a lot of people at the time thought, well, this was a dream that couldn't be realized and maybe shouldn't be realized, but it has been, and it now is a beautiful campus. I think has the makings of one of the finest anywhere in the state, and I'm sure it's going to make a tremendous contribution to the total picture of education in North Carolina. So just coming on the campus, seeing these extremely attractive buildings, seeing students hurrying back and forth between classes, is bound to give you a feeling that most anything can be accomplished if people will simply set the goals and get about it.
What has the college meant to you individually, Governor Sanford?
Well, I think the part that I've been able to play with literally thousands of other people is a sense of satisfaction, as is achieving anything. I take no particular personal pride in the accomplishments here, but it has meant to me a great deal to have a part in the building of something that is beginning to demonstrate so very clearly in every way its worthwhile nature. And so I think I could say it's meant to me what it's meant to many, many people in this community, and this part of the state and across the state and throughout the church, and everybody that's had a part in putting this building here. You can look at a block of concrete here on the ground or a brick in one of the buildings and feel, well, at least I had had a part in placing that particular brick there. And so this college is a part of so many people that have joined together to make it what it is, and I think I share with them a feeling that this was a worthwhile achievement and it was worth all the effort that it took.
During the past few minutes, we have presented a brief look at Methodist College in Fayetteville, one of North Carolina's newest four-year institutions. There are many such colleges now in North Carolina, offering higher education to many students who never dreamed of someday earning a college degree. This is Reese Edwards reporting for Program Kaleidoscope.
Ailes. The State Ports Authority, meeting at New Bern, today awarded contracts for construction of a new warehouse at Wilmington, agreed to ask for bids soon on a new warehouse for Morehead City. Low bids for construction of the 96,000-square-foot warehouse at Wilmington totaled just over $677,000, with a low bid on the general contract submitted by T.A. Loving and Company of Goldsboro, some $559,000. The Ports Authority says total bids were $100,000 under the estimated cost. The authority voted to advertise for bids at the end of the month on the 100,000-square-foot warehouse at Morehead, and to call for bids in 2 or 3 weeks for paving a 2.5-acre outside storage area at Wilmington and paving 2 bays of the fabricating shop in the old Maritime Administration shipyard. Final plans for a small boat harbor at Southport were reviewed. The authority also agreed to advertise for bids on a new office building in Wilmington at the time final plans are available, probably around January 1st. A formal request was made of the Department of Administration for authority to retain a little over $142,000 in revenue from fiscal 1962. The Ports Authority also heard that a new type ship, a hydrofoil vessel developed for the Maritime Administration, will be at Morehead City December 11th and 12th. The 105-foot craft, due to its unusual design, can reach 60 knots in heavy seas. In Durham, State Farm Bureau President B.C. Mangum, in his annual speech to the Farm Bureau meeting, has assailed the state's newspapers for opposing the constitutional amendment to change the method of apportioning the state legislature. Mangum said the newspapers did not tell the whole story of the reapportionment which the amendment would accomplish. The Farm Bureau supports the amendment, which would leave control of the legislature in the hands of small counties. Mangum disputed the arguments used by the newspapers. As he put it, "They tell us 51 rural counties would control the House under the constitutional amendment plan, but they don't add that 13 urban counties would control the Senate." Also at the meeting in Durham, the former state director of 4-H clubs and an Alamance County woman this afternoon received the Farm Bureau's highest honor. L.R. Harrell, who resigned the 4-H post this past summer after 37 years' service, and Mrs. F.A. Needham Outstanding Lady of the State's Dairy Industry, received the Farm Bureau's 1963 Distinguished Service Award. Harrell was cited for a virtual lifetime of unselfish service. Mrs. Needham, who assists her husband in operation of a 329-acre dairy farm in Alamance County, was the first woman to be named to the State Milk Commission. The Republican Party got another gubernatorial candidate today. At Albemarle, High Point meatpacking firm executive O.H. Doggett said he'll seek the nomination, becoming the second to announce. State Representative Donald Badgley of Greensboro was the first. The 60-year-old executive vice president of Liberty Meatpacking Company says his platform will include a garnishee law on behalf of all creditors, $1.25 minimum wage, and a $5 fee for all state motor vehicle license plates. He's against any increase in taxes at the state level, against allowing insurance companies to cancel liability policies on any policyholder able to pay the premium, and against allowing school children to drive school buses. Agriculture Commissioner L.Y. Ballantyne, speaking to the American Public Health Association at Kansas City, Missouri today, said tobacco has an economic impact on most segments of the nation's economy. In Ballantyne's words, the butcher, the baker, and the tobacco stick maker, along with many others, have an economic stake in tobacco, in addition to the farmer who grows it. He said American farmers last year received more than $1.3 billion, and excluding hired labor, paid out more than $500 million in production expenses. The state Supreme Court today received from the U.S. Supreme Court the certified mandate of its dismissal of an appeal by defendants in the Birch Brewer Highway Signs case. Court officials say the mandate probably will go to a conference of the justices a week from tomorrow, at which they'll affirm their own opinion in the case and start it on its way back to Wake County Superior Court. Next, the merchant's view of school stores. Here's Keith Hundley.
The North Carolina Merchants Association, which said earlier this year it would investigate the operation of school stores, terming such stores a million-dollar business and unfair competition with legitimate retail merchants, says it will now launch a two-pronged program aimed at curtailment of these operations. The association's head man, Thompson Greenwood, said in Raleigh today, the association doesn't want to fight with anyone, just wants some of these school store operations curtailed. He expressed pleasure with a policy stand the State Board of Education is taking in rewarding those schools which handle all food services through the cafeteria or lunchroom program with additional allotments, but said his organization will, through negotiations with the State Board and with local school committees and parent-teacher organizations, try to get further curtailment. Greenwood indicated his organization is not as worried about snack items as they are the sale of goods and supplies available in variety stores, pointing out some school stores sell items of clothing. Said individual schools admittedly make very little money in a year. It's when you view it in the composite, he said, that it becomes a tremendous figure. The school stores, he said, do in some instances fill a need, but in most instances go beyond providing money for school programs. Take students and teachers away from regular school activities just to take a profit. Greenwood also indicated the association's Legislative and Governmental Affairs Committee will meet about the first of the year to lay plans for taking the problem to the State Board of Education and to local school units. Says the proper solution to the problem will come only from cooperative actions by all parties involved. Keith Hundley, WPTF News.
At Lexington, District Solicitor Lonnie Herbin announced this afternoon he will prosecute three young Negroes on second-degree murder charges rather than first-degree in the killing of a white man during a race riot in Lexington last June. The three had been charged with murder in the slaying of Fred Glenn Link, with assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill in the wounding of photographer Art Richardson. The announcement came at the opening of the trial for the three in Davidson Superior Court. A job training project that may serve as a model experiment for the entire Southeast has been announced for Greensboro, a program patterned after the massive Manhattan Project undertaken in New York City at a cost of $6 million. Greensboro city officials announced the program, said it's aimed at training unemployed and underemployed Negroes for better job opportunities. On the lighter side of the news, the latest political development, appointment of Raleigh attorney Newman Townsend, Jr. as campaign manager for Democratic gubernatorial hopeful Richardson Pryor, has caught Townsend's wife and her sister, Mrs. Bill Johnson, in a crossfire. Mrs. Johnson's husband is public relations man and speechwriter for a prior opponent, Dan K. Moore. And in Durham, today's seminar of the Duke University Zoology Department featured a talk on the subject, Courtship in Fiddler Crabs. The speaker, University of Maryland student Michael Salmon. And now the weather for Raleigh-Durham, fair and cool tonight. Tomorrow partly cloudy and slightly cooler. Low tonight near 40, high tomorrow near 64. Today's high...